A homily for the fourth Sunday of Easter. If you have been a Catholic all your life as an adult, it shouldn't be of any surprise to you that the fourth Sunday of Easter is also called Good Shepherd Sunday. Often it is the one Sunday where the Church as a whole prays for those who are discerning their vocation to the ministerial priesthood, as well as for those who are in the formation process either in seminaries or in houses of formation if they are religious. It does make sound theological sense for this to take place in the season of Eastertide, because if you think about it, the priesthood was instituted by Jesus when he celebrated the Last Supper just before his death and resurrection. And because the Last Supper was also when Jesus instituted the Eucharist, both the priesthood and the Eucharist are intrinsically intertwined. And on the second Sunday of Easter, on all three liturgical cycles of years A, B, and C, the Gospel shows Jesus instituting the sacrament of confession, where sins are forgiven. With the featuring of the three sacraments of the Eucharist, the priesthood and confession, in such close proximity to each other, it is only right that the Universal Church prays in a special way for the many men who are on their way to giving their lives over to the Church as ministers of the table and ministers of the Word. But does this then mean that on this fourth Sunday of Easter, that the role of the laity is deemed somewhat less important, or at best, just something that exists as something like a backdrop for the ministerial priesthood and vocation to the priesthood to be in the spotlight or in the forefront? Now that would not only be a grave mistake, but also missing the point of the priesthood by a wide margin. The priesthood has never stood alone as an institution in and of itself, and in truth, it has a very symbiotic relationship and existence with the laity and the general life of all Catholics. After all, priests do not spring up from nowhere or maybe from out of the ground like mushrooms, perhaps. No, of course they don't. Before they are ordained priests, all men come from families, be they nuclear families consisting of parents, grandparents and siblings, aunts and uncles, etc., or from nuclear families and their extended families consisting of friends and neighbours and fellow Catholics in work and social settings, in schools and in church ministries. Now, where is God in all this? He's right there, working in and through the people whom the future priest grows up in and grows up surrounded by. Of course, nothing would happen if the man himself doesn't make the effort to discern how and whether God is indeed calling him to be a ministerial priest. This term, calling, is often very narrowly understood and is often thought of as an audible voice that one hears with one's ears. That is rarely the case. Though, if God were to choose that mode to impart a vocation to the ministerial priesthood, he certainly has the prerogative too. But, for the most part, a calling is more akin to a prompting or a being drawn toward the priesthood, being attracted by not just the work of the priest, but how good, true, and beautiful it is to give of oneself in such a full and total way when one loves God and sees how God is in himself the perfection and totality of goodness, truth, and beauty. To do that, it requires that he is able to join the various dots that God had been providing him all his life thus far, to see how in the various situations, both the good ones and the bad ones, the ones where he saw great success, as well as the ones in which he may have experienced failure and affliction. And through all this, God was his constant guide. These images are evocative in the Shepherd's Psalm, or Psalm 23, which happens to be the responsorial psalm for our Mass readings this year. Many of us know this psalm by heart, but the unfortunate downside of knowing something by heart is that sometimes one could just remain on the level of words, but has not really allowed the words to appreciate the richness which the words convey. Just take the line, "There is nothing I shall want." Beneath these words lie a declaration that everything in life is commentary, and everything in life is at best a supplement when the Lord is truly one's shepherd in life. That's a very strong testimony of faith. It means that even if everything that you have in life is taken away, everything, including your material possessions, your reputation, your health, your titles, your assets, your family, your spouse, your most beloved, is taken away, that it's really okay, and you are still in a good place, and you are not left wanting. Why? Because you know that God is your provider for what you need most to not just live, but to live fully. This is what Jesus the Good Shepherd alludes to in the last line of today's Gospel text, where he tells his disciples, "I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full." Couched in that statement is the truth that we have everything if we have Jesus, and that even if we have everything in the world but don't have Jesus, we really have nothing. I truly believe that it is when a man knows how ground-shifting this kind of faith is in his veins that he is then willing to consider giving his life over to live and to serve as a ministerial priest for God's people so that they can in turn live with such a lively, dynamic, and robust faith and to really live life to the full. Again, the experience of this truth comes not only from reading and being familiar with the Holy Word of God, but also by seeing its truth lived out in the community of his nuclear and extended family. If this isn't the basis of his priesthood, which needs to be grounded on a rock-solid relationship with God in love, the priesthood will only be something functional at best, and not something that is truly existential and based on his ontology, which is a fancy philosophical term to say his very being as a person. It has been my experience that a regular and sustained prayer life adds layer upon layer of solidity on what God has planted as his base, such that as the priest grows and matures and lives out his priesthood, he begins to give back to the people what he got from them in the first place. And he then becomes the loving and faithful shepherd to his flock that God gives him to tend and to bring to pasture. That's the symbiosis at work. But when the priesthood is only something that is functional, merely providing a service that is sacramental, one can begin to separate or extract holiness from the vocation of the priesthood, as if holiness was something that was somewhat arbitrary. When that happens, the priest is walking on thin ice. I'm quite certain that if one makes a study of those priests who were guilty of the scandalous scourge of sexual abuse of so many innocent lives, one would find that at the heart of it is that those priests failed to maintain and nurture a loving and living prayer life that was sustained with the love of God at the center of their priesthood and the center of their very personhood. Having said all this, we need to be crystal clear that the vocation to the ministerial priesthood is primordially God's call and not something that a man suddenly decides to do on a whim, no matter how good that whim may be. If it is not of God, it is a venture doomed to fail in various ways. God is the one who gives the primacy of grace for every good thing, and this includes the desire to want to live a life that is a gift back to God and a gift for the people of God. This is why I believe that as much as Good Shepherd Sunday is a day to pray especially for those aspiring to the priesthood, and in a way also to pray for those already in the priesthood, it is also as much a day where every Catholic lay person, married or single, young or old, is invited to see if the way they have lived out their Catholic faith and practiced their faith in their lives have been the mode through which potential priests have experienced the grace of God's life and love in their own lives. Your individual quest for holiness and sanctification makes it not only meaningful, but also necessary that some men take that challenging step toward wanting to be another Christ or Alter Christus, because there is a deep sense of generativity that needs to be present in the body of Christ. The sad truth, I'm afraid, is that the numbers of men in formation to the priesthood right now are far from being robust. But I am certain that there will be a surge in the numbers of men becoming priests when there is at the same time a surge and a revival in the faith life of the community from which future holy priests emerge. God love you.